All right, ready? I'm Meredith.
I'm Elise. And this is your 20s. Ready, always ready.
It's on.
Hey, chicken nuggets, what's up?
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Welcome back to This Is Your 20s.
Season 2.
Season 2.
Episode
12.
12? Okay.
AKA 2.
Let's explain this quickly for our listeners. So we've decided to break up the seasons into season 1 and season 2, which has already been discussed. But we decided that we wanted to do, like, instead of doing season 1, episode 2. Let me try that again.
Reverse.
Instead of doing season 2, episode 2, we were going to do season 2, episode 12.
Mm-hmm.
So that we can keep track of kind of, like, how many episodes we have.
Mm-hmm.
Because lots of big podcasts have, like, episode 182. Like, we want to get to that point.
Yeah. Joe Rogan's literally in the thousands.
Yeah. So we want to make sure we can get to that point and not confuse our listeners that they think that they're listening to the 12th episode of season 2. Like that.
Right.
So we just want to clarify that.
Right. This is a new season, but overall, this is our 12th episode we produced.
Yes, so, exactly. Yeah.
That's it.
It's crazy. Episode 12.
Episode 12.
And we started in October and
I got the sleepies. I got the yawnies.
Yeah, we're recording this a little later in the day today.
Yeah, it's 7:45 p.m. Way past my bedtime.
Can you imagine going to bed at like 6 p.m.?
That's what old folks do.
My grandma does that. My grandma gets up at 4 a.m. and goes to bed at 5 p.m.
I do not. Aggressive, I do not. Yeah, my grandpa, when he was alive, he went to bed at probably 6:30, and then he woke up at like 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah, like their day starts at like 5 a.m.
With the fucking rooster crowing. I mean, Jesus Christ.
Before the sun even thinks about coming up.
Yeah.
Up.
It's like, what the fuck are you doing up, old man? I'm still sleeping. I'm still the moon. I'm not the sun yet. That's definitely not how science works. So
anyway,
sorry.
We want this whole episode to be dedicated to our personality traits and how we need to explain to you all how different Meredith and I are, even though it may not come off as like that.
Yeah, I think through the microphone, people are probably like, oh, they're just like a clone of each other.
Same
personality.
The same
wise.
Bitch.
That's same bitch.
They're the same bitch. That's
not true. Not at all.
We're both goofy as shit.
Yeah, for sure. Like, definitely that's why we're so close, is because mm-hmm. we can literally just like speak in Morse code and in noises and like understand each other.
What's going on.
And like, mm-hmm. Like, bing bong, shmink bong. And you're like, oh, and respond to that. Yeah, exactly. So
makes no sense.
But it makes
crackhead
sense
hour.
To us. Yeah, crackhead hour.
Every time we're
crackhead
together.
Energy. But we want to talk about being an introvert versus being an extrovert, and just kind of how that ties into the different ways that we use like coping mechanisms for things, and then also just like our mental health in general.
Yeah, just like talking about how it's okay to, like, especially in social situations, treat every situation different, and it's okay to cope in a different way than other people who you think are like succeeding or mm-hmm. have their life together. Like, especially extroverts, like a lot of right now, I feel like it's a trend for people to like write books about how it's okay to be an introvert and this is why introverts are still badass, blah, blah, blah. And we even went to this, we had a class together and this lady came in and spoke on, and she kept like referring to herself as an introvert and how she was terrified to be up there and speak. But just from looking at her, she was, and like hearing her speak, she was an incredible public speaker. I would have never guessed she was an introvert, or, you know, like, or she had that negative connotation with how people see introverts.
Right.
And I think like it's a big trend. One of my good friends, Tristan, also just wrote a book on like how to, 8 tips on how to be an extroverted introvert, like, or how to run a business as an introvert. And I was like, what is this whole trend as, like, I don't know, like introverts aren't seen as good enough, or they're not as, you know, they're not going to make it because they don't know how to work with people. Fuck that. That's not true.
Right.
Like, there's good qualities in an introvert and good qualities in an extrovert.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I would say it's becoming a trend to like come out with that more, as it's becoming more of a trend to talk about mental health and talk about open, like be very open on social media. Because it's not like there's been a lack of introverts in the past. It's just they've always been introverts. They just have thought that they needed to act a certain way in order to be accepted.
Right.
And function well in society. And there are just ways to go about that, you know. And I think that's really important to talk about as, you know, as social media takes over our lives, because it's something that we have to deal with on a daily basis, seeing everyone's dirty laundry out for air on social media, which I don't think is necessary. We've talked about this before. It's not necessarily a bad thing to be open like that. But if you are introverted, you're kind of like, well, wait, should I be doing that?
What's wrong with me?
Right. Yeah. Or like even in a business setting, should I be doing that? Or like, should I be eating lunch every day with all the coworkers all at the same time at the same hour? Or is it okay if I do sit at my desk and like, you know what I mean?
Time.
Yeah. And it doesn't mean, I think what's really hard for me as an introvert is it's not that I'm antisocial. It's not that I don't want to be around a certain person. It's that I literally just need, I know myself well enough to know that I need to remove myself from a situation just temporarily to gain my energy back so that I can show the people I love in my life that I love them by being with them.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not easy. Some people, like you, are a total extrovert. You get your energy from other people. And that's amazing. But sometimes it can be hard, I think, too, if you're like in college or you're in a setting where there's a lot of people, like we live in a sorority house. And sometimes it's just like the idea of me going down and sitting at lunch with a bunch of people is just too much.
Sometimes, like, she'll text me and literally be like, I can't do it right now. And I'm like, that's cool, girl. You do you. You know what I mean? But for me, I look forward to that. I love a big crowd of people. If there's like, if there's like 100 people in a room, I'm like having a heyday. Like I will talk to every single person. I'm excited. Like I, you're right. Like I do, my energy feeds from other people's energy so much. Like if I'm by myself for a long time, I like, I don't know. I go crazy. Like I need people's energy. I need to always just, not always. Obviously I enjoy alone time, and I've come to grown to learn to, I've grown to learn to love how to, use my be alone and like that. But when I was in high school, I, you know, FOMO.
Oh yeah.
I had the worst FOMO ever. If I was like home on a Friday night and all my friends were doing something, or like there was something going on that I wasn't a part of, I would freak out. Like extroverts don't always have it together too, just because we're social all the time and we can handle people. That was a terrible, terrible quality to have, because extroverts have FOMO. They have like this like fear of not being in on the action and not being like contributing the way they could. And like that was not healthy for me. And I had to learn how to reverse that in my mind, that it's okay if you're alone and you are chilling for a night and you're watching Netflix by yourself. You need that time to recoup, because extroverts also need that time. They just don't realize it.
Yeah. Well, and I wonder too, when you say you felt like you needed to be in on the action, like, do you, is there like a something in your life that makes you feel like you need to be in on the action? Like, do you think there's like a root cause for feeling that way?
Damn, probably. I feel like there's always like a root cause for the person everything. We are now.
Yeah.
Let me think. I grew up with a lot of brothers. I was the only girl. I have 3 brothers and 4 stepbrothers. So it's not like I never got attention. Like I always had attention as the only girl. I think I was born, honestly, to like, just loved to be around people. Like that's just always how I've been. I've always put people first and wanted to be in on the thing that's happening. Like I know a lot of, like, for my brothers especially, and I didn't realize this till I got way older, I didn't know what social anxiety was. So when we would go to like family reunions, I have a really big family, my dad's side has 36 cousins, like crazy, and we'd go to like those reunions, or we'd even just spend time with like a with family friends at like for dinner or stuff like that, and there'd be like kids running around, just a lot of going on, Super Bowl parties, all that stuff. My brothers would go hide, like my 2 older brothers would go like in a different room and just them, and I thought, I was like, what, they're being party poopers, like this is, and now I understand that that's just like they're part of their social anxiety, part of how they deal with things. They would much rather be in a separate room. And to me that was disrespectful. To me that was rude. I was like, fuck that. Like they're being rude and disrespectful to the people hosting the party and stuff like that. And as I've matured, I fully understand now that social anxiety is a real thing.
For sure.
A lot of, not everyone is like me where they can handle those situations or and they thrive in large amounts of people. And just like coming to that realization, especially in college, like when a lot of people don't like parties or like anything like that because it's just too much going on. It's overwhelming. And I'm like, wow, like I have never seen that point of view before.
Yeah.
And like Meredith and I are very similar in a lot of ways, but we are very different when it comes to like how much we can take socially, you know? And there's nothing wrong with either of our points of view from that.
Right. And what's so interesting is like, as you're talking about your childhood, I'm thinking for you, it's definitely nature, like that whole nature versus nurture argument. Like it is in your nature to be outgoing, to love people, all these things. And as I think back to my childhood, I also think it's in my nature. I love talking to people. Like, I just accepted a job where I'll be doing sales, which means literally be with people almost talking all the time. Like, that's what I need to be good at. And I know I'm good at talking to people.
Tell them about your job really fast because you brought it up. And it's exciting.
Yeah. So I accepted a job at a company in Cincinnati. And I'll be starting off in recruiting. But then the goal is to move into sales. And I'm really excited because I feel like I was explaining to Lise earlier, I've done lots of marketing, lots of internships with news and writing and communications. And I feel like I've gotten to the point where I've kind of exhausted that skill set. And I know I can always be good at that and be an asset in that way to any company that I, you know, am a part of.
Mm-hmm.
But I really want to learn something new. And I really do enjoy being around people, even though I am an introvert.
Mm-hmm.
So my goal after college is to really push myself in that department, because when you're transitioning out of college, you don't have all your best friends around you. You're not living with all of your, in my case, living with all of your sisters and your best friends. So for me, I really wanted a job where like the community environment at work is very tight knit. And I had like the best experience with the interview process and the people I met. I was like so excited, got such a good initial gut reaction. And so I'm just kind of going off my gut in this instance. I, like I said, know nothing about sales, but I'm really good at working with people and connecting with people. So I figured hopefully I can learn a lot in that department, do really well for myself. And then eventually, as time goes on, I want to go back to school and get my MBA and either go into real estate or open my own small like boutique. It's always been a dream of mine, but I'm really hoping that after this first job after college is, or who knows, maybe I love this job and I grow with this company and I end up being there for the rest of my career.
Yeah.
There's no way to say. But the job is really cool because it offers a lot of like upward mobility. And so it has like a nice set out path that I know I could follow if I hit my goals, which is nice. I'm like so excited, and it's nice to be able to know that I'm going to be in Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to
have a plan.
I have a plan. Finally, now I can start.
I don't.
Yeah.
But I'm proud of you. I really am.
Thanks.
And just like hearing like your goals and like what you want, that is like the biggest blessing you can get for your friends, and that you can give to your friends is like manifesting their future and like have them like hearing what they want with their life is just really cool. Because I've known you for 4 years now.
Yeah.
So like, I think the past couple of weeks was the first time where you told me like this is what you want to do.
Yeah.
And I'm like, holy shit. And obviously we still want to keep up.
Oh, of course.
No matter what, we've talked about this too. No matter what happens, I don't know where I'm going to be. It doesn't matter if we have to take a break from this and skip a little few months or whatever until season 3, but this is always our passion project. Like we're going to keep this because we preach in this podcast that you have to keep up your passion, and this is also one of our passions. So,
and we've talked about it too, where if this was something that would take off, like we would both drop everything, do this full time. Like this is the absolute dream. But obviously, you know, got to get some money in my pocket and start paying off some student loans.
Rip.
And, like finding other dreams in the process. So
exactly.
I'm really excited. So it's kind of fitting though that we're talking about the job with extroversion and introversion, because like I said, it's a sales job. So it's really going to kind of force me out of that comfort zone of maybe retreating to myself when I'm feeling overwhelmed. And what I want to make really clear is that like I'm not like, when you think of introvert, I think people think of like a bookworm who doesn't talk to people, who's like socially really awkward, like doesn't know how to interact with people. And I'm not trying to like throw shade at people like that. Like I realize that that's like a real thing. But for me, it's just, I think honestly, for you, your extroversion is it's your nature.
Yeah.
My introversion is based off of my childhood and the way I was nurtured.
Mm.
So hear me out. So when I by nature, very talkative person, if you can't already tell, like, I'm quick-witted. I love public speaking. Like, it's just, it doesn't match up.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I had no idea she was an introvert. Yeah. Literally our entire friendship. And then we were talking about this episode and she's like, we should do the fact that, you know, you're an extrovert and I'm an introvert. And I'm like, you're a what?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. That's cool that we should. Right. That's a cool episode.
Yeah. And like, I think so my entire childhood, I lived for other people and I still often live for other people and I'm working on that. And we've talked about this, like the whole people pleaser thing. And so I feel like I spent so much of my childhood kind of doing what everyone else wanted me to do, showing up to everything. I was always a super polite kid. Mm-hmm. I was really good at talking to parents. Like you would have just mm-hmm. thought that I was like, I got awards at camp for being the social butterfly, all those things.
Yeah.
And I really thought that that was just like inherently who I was supposed to be all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And but I can remember as a kid, I mean, I had severe anxiety as a kid as well, because mm-hmm. I felt like if I can't keep up this image all the time, then like, what am I good for? And I don't think it was until college where I started to live on my own that I realized that, no, like, you're not like this. Like, this right. is not what you want to do all the time.
Right.
Like, you don't want to go okay. out and see people all the time.
Right.
You want to go to your dorm room and take a shower and get in your bed and watch Netflix and have no one talk to you for a few hours.
Yeah.
And that is so fine.
And that's okay. Yeah.
And we were talking to a girl who was doing our promo earlier today, Madison Bowell, and she said the best thing. I called it recharging my batteries, and she's like, yeah, your social batteries. And I was yeah. like, I've never heard like social batteries before, but yeah, it's just, it's not, it's so that I can be the best version of myself for the people that mm-hmm. I want to show up for and really show up for. Because I'm one of those people that I don't have like a giant circle of best friends.
Mm-hmm.
I have a big circle of people who I really respect and love and who love me as well, but maybe more from afar. And then I have a couple of really, really, really close people in my life mm-hmm. who know every bit of me in and out.
Mm-hmm.
And I have chosen those people for my life
mm-hmm.
and they've proven themselves to me as someone that wants to be in my life and be there for all the shit that it is to be my friend.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to make sure that at the end of the day, I'm giving those people that have invested in me, I'm investing the same amount in them. And the only way that I can do that is to retreat.
Damn.
And I think I worry because I don't want people to think that I isolate myself on purpose because I don't want to be in their company. It's just not that at all. It's just
yeah.
it's too much sometimes.
Yeah.
You know?
That honestly took me some time to learn about you because I didn't. Yeah. I thought it was me being the Leo extrovert that I am. I always am like, oh, shit, she doesn't want to hang out like with me. What did I do wrong? Like, what is our, you know, like, mm-hmm. what did I do to for her? But it's not, that's not the case mm-hmm. at all. You just literally needed to recharge. And
yeah.
me, I don't, I mean, I'm sure I do. And maybe it'll come at some point in my life. But I genuinely don't think I have, like, a limit to my social battery. Like, I could be with people all day, every day,
yeah.
at every second. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. But, like, when you said social battery, I was like, damn.
Yeah.
Like, going home and relaxing isn't a good idea to me, obviously, mm-hmm. and but I just never think being like being by myself right now would be nice. Like, I don't think I've
oh my gosh, I think about it so often.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's why this is so good that we're talking about this, because yeah. like, I feel like extroverts and introverts, and not every extrovert I feel like is as aggressive as me sometimes, but like, that is a huge difference. Like, and it's okay to have that recharge and your social battery and
yeah.
you know, it's okay. Like
right.
do what's best for you. Fuck FOMO, fuck all that.
Yeah.
Do what works for you.
Do what works for you. But I do, like, there's a caveat to that. And I think that, like, I think the fact that you and I are best friends and we are so different when it comes to that, shows that you can have friendships and relationships with people who differ than you. And it's actually probably a good thing to have a healthy balance in your life of people that will challenge you to kind of go out of your comfort zone, but also respect the boundaries that you have.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you just need to set that early on in those relationships and friendships, and make the other person realize that it has absolutely nothing to do with them at all.
Exactly.
And has everything to do with just what you need for yourself. And like, you know, Elise, when she's like, you want to go out with me, or you want to, and I'm just like, no, I can't tonight. also, like, I need to realize sometimes that, like, it's not always me that's like, no, I can't tonight. I'm feeling this way. And sometimes I need to be like, oh, you want me to go out with you tonight because you need to, like, charge up your social batteries by going out? Okay, then I'm going to push myself as well. And even if I don't really want to, I'm going to, like, go out because it's important to you. And so
that is so sweet.
But, I mean, that's true. It's true. I mean, like, even when in relationships, too, I can think of, like, being with Jay. Like, sometimes I'm like, I want nothing more than to just, like, get takeout food and sit on the couch with you and, like, cuddle. But, like, he would want me to go out and play tennis with him or soccer with him or golf with him. Like, you also need to know your person's friendship / love language as well. That's super important. And, like, you can find that on, like, any website. There's a quiz for it.
You should know your love language. You should know it.
Yeah, you should know your love language, and you should know the love language of the people that are, like, really close to you, so that you can serve them in the way that they need to be served and vice versa. And I just think that all of this kind of ties in together. And then also we want to talk about, like, coping mechanisms too. If you're an extrovert versus an introvert. I want to know what your coping mechanisms are.
Coping as in, like, coping for...
I don't know, if you're, like, feeling anxious or overwhelmed or depressed or whatever it may be, like, what is your way of dealing with that as an extrovert?
Talking it out. Like, this is therapy. Also, a couple episodes back, I said, like, I'll get out my phone, and when I just have so many thoughts going on, I have high anxiety. Because also there's a stigma that extroverts don't, like, have anxiety and that they're perfect. No, like, everyone has anxiety. Everyone goes, you know, some obviously more severe than others, but, like, everyone deals with that, and don't take that lightly. You know, like, anxiety is not a funny thing. Like, it's real, and people struggle with it every day. But when I'm feeling very anxious, like, honestly, yesterday I was, this is a good example. I was with friends all day. I was in Indianapolis, you know, like, doing a bunch of things, but I felt internally, like, anxious all day, and I couldn't figure out why. Because I was like, this is usually, like, my shit. Like, this is usually where I thrive. I'm with people, blah, blah, blah. And I couldn't figure it out, like, why I was so anxious. And I like, wanted to just talk it out. You know, like, I was with people, so I didn't. But I kind of talked it out in my mind. And I think what I had, the way I cope is just, like, pulling out my phone and going on voice memo if I can't write fast enough on what is going through my head, and just talking shit out. And the more I do that, the more, like, a clear vision I have of what's wrong, what's actually going on, what am I feeling, instead of all these just, like, rambled thoughts, if that makes sense. So honestly, this podcast, like, helps so much in that sense of, like, I don't know exactly how to get all my thoughts together, but when I talk them out, it makes sense. I can put them in a clear line.
That makes total sense.
What about you? How do you cope?
It just depends. Like, it kind of depends on my level of anxiety that day, or my ability to, like, to be around people. So when I'm really struggling, I mean, I think you know this, I really do retreat and isolate. And I mean, I have a single at my sorority house, and I will just kind of lock myself in my room and, like, not leave my room if I can help it. And so that is sometimes good. Like, sometimes I do just need to do that. I just need to be in my room. If I need to cry, I need to cry. If I need to sleep, I sleep a lot when I struggle, which is that's definitely, like, a gauge for me on how much I'm struggling. How much am I sleeping? And then it's like, ooh, girl, like, what are we missing here?
Right.
Like, what do we need to add into the equation or take out of the equation so that you can get back into balance, like, a normal habit? And right now my sleep schedule is, like, on par. It's great. So I know that I haven't been taking naps during the day, unless I'm like, had eight tennis matches and I'm just physically exhausted, which is a different subject. Yeah, so when I know that I'm just mentally exhausted, I'll sleep a lot, and then I'll reevaluate. But I feel like my coping mechanisms just always involve some sort of, like, reevaluation. Like, I never ever feel super content with how I deal with things. So I feel like I'm always trying to try a new method or switch up my routine until I find something that actually works for me. And I haven't been able to find something consistently until, like, these past few months the routine I'm in now has been really, really good mm-hmm. for my anxiety and whatever. So I'll journal at night, at the end of my day. Even if I feel like I don't have much to journal about, I'll still force myself to just kind of write a few sentences to keep the habit going. Because when I get myself out of the habit, then that becomes harder to get way harder to get back into it. So I'll jot my thoughts down. I'll write down what I'm grateful for. I write down 8 things every day, like mm-hmm. things that happened today that I'm grateful for. And mm-hmm. it could be like, I ate a breadstick at dinner. Like, it literally can be anything. Like, it doesn't have to be like a big thing.
Right.
And then I have been reading, like, I have a Holy Bible app on my phone, and I've been reading like a daily devotional from that at the end of the day. And then I pray at the end of the night, and then I force myself to go to sleep. Mm-hmm. And I try to cut my screen time when I can too. So that's been like my routine. And then, yeah, I mean, I tend to isolate, but here's the thing. I know I'm an extroverted introvert because I do always feel better after I talk things out. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of if I do that.
Yeah.
And so sometimes I need someone to like ask me, how's your day going? And then the words come out like word vomit mm-hmm. and I feel immediately a weight lifted. Mm-hmm. But I just hate the idea of being a burden on people. So mm-hmm. oftentimes I'm not the one to say,
right,
this happened to me today and I feel like this.
Which is a good trait. It requires
some probing.
Yeah.
Yes, it is a good trait.
It's a good trait because I know a lot of people who want to tell everyone their problems and it's just not a good thing to do.
Well, and they just lay it on thick and then you're like, well, wait a minute. I would have really appreciated if you asked me what my emotional capacity was to handle that before you just threw that all on me.
Right.
Because I was just coming down to the kitchen to fucking heat up a breakfast burrito.
Right.
Like, I wasn't trying to hear you tell me about X, Y, and Z.
Right.
And now I'm stuck here and I have to try to make you feel better. Right. And I'm like, I just want to go back to bed. Like,
literally.
That's literally what happens every time.
No, but I think it's true. Like, you can't be comfortable all the time.
Right.
Because, and that's why we're friends. Like, that's why you have to be friends with people who are different than you, because you learn from them.
Yes.
You know, like, I genuinely believe that. Like, everyone who I am friends with who's a lot like me, sometimes I, like, can see the faults in myself because we're so alike. You know what I mean? Sometimes I'm like, oh, I do that, but I don't think that's a good trait in you. You know what I mean? Like, so maybe I should reevaluate that. But it's also good to learn from people who aren't like you, because then you can adapt and become more, what's the word?
Well-rounded,
versatile.
I like that. And I think also looking at, you know, seeing your own faults reflected in that person, but then again, seeing your shortcomings reflected in who that person is, not because they have those shortcomings, but because you realize, oh, I have those shortcomings. Mm-hmm. So like, if I were to look at you and be like, oh, she is always spontaneous, willing to try new things, willing to like go out and have a good time, then I'd be like, you need more of that in your life. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean you have to completely change yourself into someone that you're not. Obviously, don't do that, or else nothing's going to work. And then you're just going to be even more confused and feel worse at the end of the day. But make sure that you like look at that and be like, I need a healthy dose of that in my mm-hmm. life. So what can I do that she's doing that I'm not doing mm-hmm. that I can add into my life? And because I'm a little bit more, not religious, but faithful. I would prefer the word faithful. I do believe that God places people in our lives that are meant to show us those things and reveal those things to us. And so I think that looking at every person that you meet and the way they interact with the world and mm-hmm. other people is a stepping stone in building who you become.
Ultimately. Wow.
What I think. But
I believe
that's
in that too.
That's a little deep. I don't know.
No, I love that because it's true. I think it's true. I think I can see myself a little bit in every single person. And that's why you need to have empathy towards every single person. We all came out of a vagina. We're all going to die. Like that. That's the two things we have in common. Learn from them.
That's the two things we have in common.
I mean, that we have genuinely.
That we came out of a vagina and that we're going to die.
The two things that every single person on this earth has in common. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you are special. You give something to the earth because no one is exactly like you except for the fact that you came out of a vagina and you're dead and you're going to die. Literally, you have something to give to the earth. There's no one quite like you.
I agree with that for sure. I've never heard that those are the only two things that every person in the world has in common with each other. I would have thought, like, you know, everyone wants to be loved or everyone likes chocolate.
So we wanted to do this episode because we know that, well, I didn't know this until a couple of weeks ago, but we're different. Like, we're different, yeah. And it's okay. And we're still learning on how to deal with each other's coping mechanisms. Sometimes I honestly feel like I'm, like, way too aggressive for a lot of people. Like, I feel like I'm just go, 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 and that's too much for people. Like, people don't like that.
Yeah.
And so that's something I deal with as a... Okay, also, did you know I'm a Leo? A Leo of them all. And a tiger. Yeah. I'm the year of the tiger.
I mean, that makes all the sense in the world.
So that's why I feel like I'm so aggressive
How
sometimes.
How do you know what your year is? How do you find that out?
The Chinese... You're 98, right?
97.
No, 97. You are... I think it's ox. Or the ox.
That would make sense. Ox, I'm pretty stubborn. Yeah. I am stubborn. I'm stubborn in the wrong ways, though, sometimes. I need to be more adaptable.
See, it's all about adaptability. And the more people you know and the more people you listen to their story and listen about, like, what their fears are and what their coping mechanisms are, how they handle social anxiety, like, the more you are going to be adaptable and honestly help yourself in the long run.
Yeah, and I think, too, the more that you're willing to have a balance in your life between people that understand you and are the same as you versus people that can push you out of your comfort zone when you need to be pushed is really important.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't want to just confine yourself to one type of person all the time because it's easy, because it feels comfortable.
Right. Because, push yourself out of that comfort zone.
Right. Because what are you going to, at the end of your life, are you going to look back and think of all the times that you were really happy that you, I don't know, watched Netflix all day? Or are you going to be happy that you tried that one thing and maybe you fucking hated it? I have a perfect story. Let me tell you this. So one time I went to Mozambique last year. I was almost leaving for Mozambique, and my boyfriend was with me, and he really, really, really wanted to go scuba diving. And I was like, yeah, scuba diving sounds cool. Like, I mean, it made me nervous as hell because, like, I've only snorkeled and I don't love being, like, in deep depths underwater. Like, that doesn't sound like my idea of fun. But also I've known that most of the times that I've forced myself to do something that I'm unsure about, I've always had a pretty good time doing it. So I was like, yeah, sure. And so looking in hindsight, it was just like a terrible idea. But because we didn't have our scuba certification.
Mm.
So like, and that's like a huge thing. Like, if you can kind of snorkel and fuck around and be relatively fine, but you really can't scuba dive and fuck around because, like, you could literally die. Like, it's like the night, like the oxygen and the whatever and not knowing how to get yourself back up. You can get, like, nitrogen poisoning in your, it's just not good.
You need to know
what the fuck you're doing is the moral of the story. Anyway, so he's like, I really, really want to go. Like, let's do it. Like, let's take a quick, because the guy was like, oh, we can give you like a quick, like, beginner's course, and then we can go on a dive tomorrow. And like, everyone on the trip was like, oh yeah, do it. Like, it's safe. No worries. That's cool. Like, but even like the people that were like running, helping us run the trip, who were like professional level scuba divers, were like, oh, of course. Like, no liability there. Like, totally fine. Anyway, so the day before, I felt like really bad about it. Like, I started thinking about it and I was like, I don't like the idea of this at all. Like, I think that something's going to go wrong. Like, I had a really, really, really bad gut feeling about it. And almost all the time when my gut feeling is off, like, I can trust my gut. I have a good gut on those things.
Yeah.
And I was like, Jay, I do not want to do this. Like, I am really, really freaked out. Like, no, I'm not going. And he got really pissed at me, and we got in like kind of a fight about it. And he had said something along the lines of like, you're like afraid of everything and you're kind of a pussy and this and that. And like, obviously that hurt me really, really deep. Mm-hmm. And I don't want people to think that I am afraid of life, because mm-hmm. I think I have a zest for life. Mm-hmm. It's just in doses. And so when he said that, I was like, fine, like, whatever. Like, I'll prove you wrong type of thing, and we're going to go on this. And so we go out on this trip, and I was so fucking scared. Like, I, like, up until we got on the boat and on the boat, I was, like, felt like I was going to throw up. Like, I was just not well. Mm-hmm. And then we got on the boat and took off, like, did the whole thing. The takeoff itself was, like, fucking scary as hell. You have to, like, sprint into this boat with all this gear on you and then jump in. And they, serious? Like, shoot up on the way. Like, I thought I was going to die. And then we went out on the sea that day, and it was really, really choppy. Mm. We should not have gone out. Like, I don't know who said that it was a good idea. Because, like, even the guys that were like, yeah, it's pretty choppy, we should probably not go out. And then the people leading the trip were like, I think we'll be fine, we should go. And so we went, and I went as well. And then we got out there, and we did the whole dive. Like, I did the whole thing. I got all my gear on. I, like, flipped backwards off the fucking boat. Like, did the whole shebang. And then all of a sudden, I literally got down maybe 4 or 5 feet. And I started hyperventilating underwater. Like, I had a full-blown panic attack underwater.
Wow.
And I was so upset because I was so embarrassed that I did that. And, like, I really wanted to conquer that fear. And I really wanted to be able to say that I did it and kind of prove people wrong, really. Yeah. But I wasn't doing it because, like, I really wanted to do it. I was doing it because I wanted to show people that I could do it. And it ended up really, really bad. I got back up on the boat. I was crying. Like, it was a total shit show. I was,
and
like,
you
God,
knew
I'm
your
so
gut told you.
My gut told me the whole fucking time.
Yeah.
It was so embarrassing. And then the guy on the boat, he couldn't speak English, but he offered me a lollipop. I was like, can I help you? Here's a lollipop. I was like, yes, thank
nice
you. This
man.
It was sweet. It was a nice gesture. Didn't help my fucking anxiety, but yeah, I ate the lollipop. And then, but it turned out that that entire trip itself did become a shit show, because then Jay got back up on the boat, threw up everywhere because he wasn't well trained enough, that he shot up too fast from coming down the water, which is really dangerous. You have to, like, slowly let yourself up, or else it's just terrible for you.
Oh my god.
So he shot up too fast. He threw up literally all of the contents of his stomach on the boat. Oh my so god. That was the terrible thing going back. And then a lot of people ended up going way further down than they were supposed to go, and then they found out later on, and it just wasn't, like, a good trip for really anyone. And then we were going back to the shore, and the boat got stuck. The boat motor stopped working, and the waves, I'm telling you, the waves were choppy as fuck. Like, it was like the weather that you see in a movie that's about to, like, have a big giant ship sailboat, like, crack, and then everything sinks. Like, it was, like, really fucking scary.
Oh,
then I started having another panic attack for the second time, and I was like, wow, I'm just really doing myself dirty today. I'm just really exposing myself today.
Mm-hmm.
But people were really nice on the boat, helped me work through it, thank God. And then finally we got the boat motor back on, finally got back to shore. I, like, kissed the fucking sand. I was like, my thank God.
This is crazy.
And then later on that night at the bar, like, the people that were running it were like, yeah, I didn't want to tell you because, you know, you were so panicked, but, like, I actually thought that, like, we were in a lot of danger there too. So it ended up being, and they were all just like, haha, it's fine, we'll figure it out. And, like, knowing that it wasn't just me that felt that way was kind of comforting. But then I remember after Jay walking up to me, and I was so upset. I was like, worst day of my life. Like, this sucked. And he was like, I am so sorry.
Mm.
Like, I did not know what you meant when you said that you did not feel like, and you were really trying to tell me that, like, you did not want to do this.
Yeah.
I am so sorry that I forced you to do something that, like, really, really was hard for you.
Yeah.
So I think the long-winded story is that listen to people that you love when they tell you that, like, this is the line that I have, and, mm-hmm. like, I cannot cross this mm-hmm. line.
Based on, like, what their gut is telling them, too. Like,
yeah.
It's, like, we talked about earlier, it's good to try new things and step out of your comfort zone, but, like, I'm a huge believer in, like, your gut instinct, too.
Yeah.
And if you're just, like, if your gut is being, like, no, this really isn't going to be right, listen
right.
to it. Listen to it. You don't have to step out of your comfort zone that day.
Yeah. And it's, and don't do something just because you feel like other people around you are doing it, and you have to prove to
yourself
them
to
that
them.
You're doing
yeah.
it. Yeah. You should always want to do things for yourself and yourself only.
Yes. That's a huge lesson for introverts and extroverts, I think,
yeah.
right there. Because I think it can apply to both. 100%.
Exactly, because for me as an introvert, I feel this pressure to go out more, to put on a certain face. And then mm-hmm. I'm sure you as an extrovert maybe feel like you have to continue to keep up mm-hmm. with what people are doing.
I also feel sometimes like guilty that I can't just like relax on my own for hours and hours and hours and yeah. like and watch Netflix like normal people do. Like I don't binge watch things like that. I feel guilty if I spend time doing that, even wow. though obviously a show is like educational or
yeah.
you know, you're still learning.
It's entertainment.
It's art. Like you're still like learning and progressing your mind through watching Netflix.
Yeah.
But I feel guilty when I'm alone for too long.
Yeah.
And that's a toxic trait too.
Yeah, because again, everything is about balance, balance, balance. And we say that all the time on the show, but it's so true. And yeah, you shouldn't feel guilty, because I think part of it too, when I was definitely more extroverted and trying to keep up with the Joneses and always like trying to kind of push myself to be like what I thought was the best thing to be, which was extroverted.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until I finally realized that like I need a mix of both, that I realized that it's not the more you look at it less as like, I am alone, therefore I am lonely.
Mm-hmm.
And more of, I'm just spending time with myself right now.
Yeah.
I'm getting to know myself.
Yeah.
I'm getting to know how my mind works.
Yeah.
I'm treating myself to some silence. I'm treating myself to like writing or journaling or talking in my voice or in my voice mm-hmm. memos, like whatever it is. Mm-hmm.
See, that's crazy. Yeah. I love journaling. I love journaling, but I could never get myself to get like multiple pages of journaling, because I'm like, I kind of try to like hurry it up, which is also bad because then I don't get my like real genuine thoughts out. Like yeah. I need to be okay with sitting down for hours, meditating, being by myself and enjoying it. And like, yeah. you know, and not thinking about what other people are doing that I'm missing, or
right.
thinking about what things I could be doing to be productive,
yeah.
you know, like your mentality and your like being of self and your, what's it called? I don't know how to say it. Or your, feeling like one with yourself is like a peace of mind that I don't think I've ever reached yet. Mm-hmm. Like being like so in tune.
Content.
Yeah, just contentness. And I think introverts feel they don't feel content because they feel the need to like
do more,
stoop up or like reach what extroverts yeah. have. And I feel like extroverts never feel like they're doing enough.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so it's always, it's both.
Or like, there's a sense of
we don't have that
taking a break.
Right, right. Yeah. We don't have contentment. And I think every single person needs contentment. That's why everyone should meditate. Meditation is slept on huge right now.
I think so. Yeah, I like the idea that you say that. But I was also going to say, in terms of coping mechanisms. So I feel like especially around like the new year, and we're still kind of in the new year, I guess you could say, mm-hmm. like that kind of mindset. There's all this, you know, idea like I need to do this to have a better new year. I need to meditate more. I need to journal more. I need to pick up on this habit. But it's also kind of like, okay, let's do some trial and error here. Are you an extrovert? Are you an introvert? Like, okay, figure out what works for you.
Right.
If you don't want to fucking journal, then don't fucking force yourself to journal.
Right. Like, if that's like the miserable,
yeah,
most like, miserable time of the day.
Like, I just feel like there's
it shouldn't be miserable.
There's so much like hype and buzz around on social media. Like, it's a new year, and to get the best version of you in this new year, you need to do X, Y, and Z. I promise you, you'll love it. And it's like, okay, well, yeah, give it an honest try. But if you really fucking hate it, don't waste your time.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's going to be different for every person. And mm-hmm. there's not like one universal blanket that you can just sweep over everyone and it's going to fix everything.
Right. Like, oh, everything's good.
And so that, and then there, that comes like the personal accountability and responsibility to push yourself.
Yeah.
And to again, going, it goes right back to the idea of finding people that will help push you and communicating the goals that you have for your personality traits and to become the best version of you to those people so that they can push you and hold you accountable. But again, know when to say, okay, like you've had enough. It's clear that you have had enough and I'm not going to push you anymore. Mm-hmm. Because
exactly.
then it's just uncomfortable all the time.
Exactly.
And then yeah. that's not good either. Yeah. So
yeah,
that's pretty much it.
That's it. That's it. All right. Bye.
Bye. All right, bye. See ya. Cool.
Oh, this is a good episode. I love talking about the shit and how people are different and the same and, you know, like how we yeah, can learn from each other. Sure. Like, this is my shit.
Yeah. And see, I literally feel a weight lifted off my shoulders right now because I've been clearly bottling a lot of stuff up out. And this is why we do this, people. It's like a therapy to us.
Yeah, it
still is. Go to therapy, though. Don't like think that this is therapy. But you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Talking is good. Yeah. Talking is good.
We should talk about like some upcoming stuff.
Yeah, let's do it. Okay.
So first of all, we've been grinding our asses off. So I hope y'all have been following our accounts because they're going to be packed with a bunch of new stuff, new posts all the time. We're going to be doing quotes. We're going to be doing videos, Throwback Thursday of past episodes. Mm-hmm. We have Instagram. We have Twitter now. We are working on the YouTube still to come. All right. We'll keep you posted. By the time this drops, YouTube will be up. I'm gonna manifest that.
Speak that into existence.
But
we
got
business cards now.
We have a logo. Mm-hmm. We have posters. Like we have been, you know, just grinding with this podcast. And thank you for your support. Thank you for everyone who's followed. Thank you for everyone who's given us like feedback and stuff like that. We filmed a little like promo earlier, and we had to sit down, and me and Mare had to like say why we started This Is Your 20s and think back to like what this show is really all about. And it was good because I was like, I needed that refresher. And like, why are we doing this? Why are we putting in all this work? And it's for a reason.
Yeah. And exactly. Cause I think when you get caught up in like the logistics of it all, I mean, it's not like the most fun thing in the world to have to constantly think about like, oh, am I managing this? Is this being updated every day?
To-do list.
But it's necessary, especially when you can keep the why, like the big why behind why you're doing it, the end goal in mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was nice to reflect on that and just kind of remember why we started, not to just blow up and hopefully get famous one day. Would love for that to happen.
Right. We're not in this for the money or fame, obviously. We're not getting either of those right now. So.
Yeah. we're literally not. So we're doing this because we love it and we love talking about these things.
And we also preach on this podcast that once you do what you love, everything else will work out.
Exactly.
And I believe that. And that's what's going to happen. So
right. And also we hope that, like, should this take off, that we can always remember why we started.
Yeah.
It's like that saying, like, always remember where you come from. You know, like, your hometown, the people, the town that built you, whatever it is. This is, like, always remember, you know, why you laid this foundation in the first place.
What our mission is, yeah.
Yeah. And then also, with all that being said, with all of our socials, like we used to say, in order to best like contact us, to send us emails to thisisyour20s@gmail.com. Still do that if email is like your preference of choice and that's like what works the best for you. If you want any sort of questions answered, we really want to get a segment going where at the end of each episode we can start answering questions live that some people have sent in to us.
Mm-hmm.
But now that we have all of our socials up, follow those, and please, like, Instagram DM us, Twitter DM us, literally, what else? I mean, leave a comment once we get
email
the YouTube.
Us, yeah.
Leave a comment on the YouTube. Literally anything that you can do to reach us. Like, we want you to reach us, and we want to be able to answer those questions and really, like, feel like you guys are getting a direct, like, line to us and hearing what you want to hear. So any suggestions about episode ideas, topics that you want us to talk about, or questions that you want us to answer, please contact us. And it's thisisyour.20s on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
thisisyour_20s on Twitter.
Yes.
And then thisisyour20s@gmail.com. Pretty easy to remember, but a little bit of differences there.
Yeah.
So just keep that in mind.
Yeah. And then, as always, thank you so much for listening.
Yes.
Your support means everything. We're excited for the season. It's only the beginning, but it's going to be a great season. We have a lot of like guests who are so excited to come on the show. And that's what it's like, the biggest compliment when like people come up to me. I don't have to go out of my way to be like, hey, I'd love to have you on the show. Like when they come up to us and they're like, I have an idea for an episode. I'm like, fuck yeah,
let's
fucking do it. And like, it's just so hype to me. And that's happened for this next upcoming season. So we're doing something right, you know?
Yes. Definitely. And we always say too that like you have something important to say, so if you think even in the tiniest like little fiber of your being is like, ooh, it would be cool, like seriously reach out. Like we are not exclusive, we are not like gonna be like no
higher up,
not good enough. Like there's we no want to hear from you. That is the point of this whole thing,
right?
It's an ongoing conversation forever and ever and ever.
Yes. Amen. This is your 30s, this is your 40s, this is your 90s,
this is your hopefully 100s.
Ooh, can you imagine?
Little ladies in the nursing home.
100, that's a long time. Anyway.
I know. Okay, we've talked about
it. All right, here we go, Mare.
Yes.
You may not have your shit figured out,
but that's okay. This is your 20s.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.